Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're at the Ratskeller on campus at the University of Miami. Delighted to be here after a nice Saturday win. Basketball season's knocking on the door. It's homecoming week. Virginia's in town for a basketball game, or rather for a football game. Coach L is here, and I'm thinking basketball. He also coached at Virginia. 3:30 football game on Saturday. We'll be on the air at 11:30 a.m. And Sunday is a preseason basketball game, and then, let's see, it's a week, 2 weeks from tonight? First game, right?
Or Tuesday. No, we open up on a Tuesday, don't we?
No, Monday.
The 6th.
Yeah, the 6th.
That's 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today.
All right, I'll be there, Joe. You be there?
I'll be there, yeah.
Should be good. I mean, hopefully we'll have a nice crowd to open up the season. You know, we have, I think, 140 new season ticket holders. So in addition to the 3,400 we already had previously. So we're doing good. Or maybe it was 2,400. We're up to 4,000, I think.
That's great. The Final Four run, really, we haven't talked to you really that much since the Final Four run. What did that all mean to your program as the summer unfolded and you come into the fall and you've had some high-level recruits already commit? So maybe just pick up on the meaning of the Final Four.
Well, first of all, college basketball has changed dramatically over the last several years with the transfer portal and NIL. And so your roster changes dramatically every year now. So you have to go out. What we do is we look for the best high school players that we can sign in November, which is the first signing period. And then whatever scholarships we have left, we try to pick up a transfer or two in April and May. We've been very fortunate that the guys who have transferred to our program, like Charlie Moore and Jordan Miller, were great for us. Then Nigel Pack and Norshad Omir. Both terrific transfers, helped us get to the Final Four last year. And now this year we have Matthew Cleveland, a transfer from Florida State. Last year, so when we got to the Final Four, there's a lot of publicity that goes along with it, a lot of attention. And it really didn't help us so much in the transfer portal because we had other scholarships. We had spots. We never really replaced Isaiah Wong. We went after some guys, but you got to be very, very selective because the worst thing you can do is add a player that doesn't fit in, doesn't fit your culture, doesn't have the skills you're looking for. So we only have 11 guys on scholarship right now. But what it really did do, our getting to the Final Four, a lot of high school kids were watching it, and we were able to get involved with a terrific group of high school players. I'm not allowed to talk about them because of they haven't officially signed yet, but we had several kids who visited who loved the place, and you know we are hoping they'll be signing with us in November.
November is the signing period, right?
Yeah, the second Wednesday always.
Right, Coach. As far as chemistry goes, now that the portal's involved and you have like the foundation, as you mentioned, of the high school players, how do you vet that part of it to make sure that they're going to fit into the University of Miami and your culture?
You know, Mike got a great coaching staff. They do a fantastic job of really reading the player and his family as to whether he's a good fit. Mm-hmm. They study him. They talk to him all the time. They talk to their high school coach, their AAU coach, some of their teammates. You really get to know the prospects. And it's a little bit different in the spring because it's like, what do they call that dating, Joe? What do you call that?
Fast dating? Dating on an app?
What is it?
I don't know. I haven't dated in 30-some years.
Speed dating.
Speed dating. Yeah.
So in April and May, it's speed dating. You know, so it's very, very different. And the run to the Final Four, I'm hoping in this spring, if we have scholarships available, we'll be able to speed date, get to know a kid very, very quickly. And a lot of times what you'll find is we've known about him. Maybe we recruited him out of high school and he chose another school. We use Charlie Moore for an example. Coach Courtney was at DePaul, so he knew Charlie Moore. Charlie's from Chicago, played at DePaul. So Coach Courtney said to me, no, that's the guy we want. And then Jordan Miller went to George Mason. And a lot of the people that I worked with back in my days at George Mason told him, hey, you ought to look at Miami. And then again, Coach Courtney reached out to his AAU coach, who he grew up with. They were best friends from the time they were 10 years old. So you want to be sure you get the right fit. And I think, you know, the guys we've gotten, the Cam Augustis and the transfers, Angel Rodriguez, Sheldon McClellan, Kamari Murphy, over the years we've done very well.
One last thing in the Final Four as it relates to your team. I just use my example. It's easy for me to kind of look back and dwell on that run. It was just a tremendous run. Everything that happened during the tournament, the games, the high-level games that you played in, many of those guys are back. How do you get them to turn on their switch in the brain and go, okay, that was great. We can't reminisce about it all the time. We've got a new season to play. How do you flick that switch to go forward?
And that's exactly where we are right now because, you know, the preseason polls have us picked in the top 25. We're going to go do ACC Media Day. We're going to be picked fairly high in the ACC in the preseason poll. We're playing Kentucky at Kentucky, which is a sign of respect for our program.
Right.
Because Kentucky is obviously a top 20 team, one of the winningest programs in college basketball history. For the media, whoever the ACC, SEC brain trust decided, no, let's send Miami to Kentucky. So our players have to understand, okay, we're going to get everybody's best shot. Everybody's going to say, hey, how good would it be if we could knock off a Final Four team from last year? We also need to understand that last year's team was terrific, but this is an entirely different roster. Yeah, we've got North Shadow Mir back. We got Nigel Pack. We got Bensley Joseph. We got Wuga Papa. Those are four guys. But we have seven other guys that have to contribute, and they have to find their way of how they fit in. And we've not been a great defensive team or a great rebounding team the last several years. And we used a statistic to demonstrate that to this year's team. I asked them, you know, in KenPom, which is a statistical analysis, where do we stand nationally with 360 Division I teams? Where did we rank on offense? And they said, well, maybe top 10, top 25. I said, yeah, we're actually sixth in the country. We were terrific and number one in scoring in transition efficiency. And then I said, well, where do we stand in defense? And they said, oh, maybe around 50. I said, no, we were 99th. No, we made the top 100, right, but that doesn't sound too good. So we've got to work really hard to improve our defense and our rebounding. And we have key freshmen. So freshmen are notoriously behind defensively because the reason they get recruited, they're good on offense or they're big. Like we signed Michael Nwako, who's 6'10". He's 240 pounds. Okay, can you stay out of foul trouble, Mike? Because the guys you're going against are also 6'10", 7 foot, but with 3 or 4 years of experience over you. And then we signed a young man from Switzerland who played ball in France, Keyshawn George. Well, when we signed him, he was about 6'5", 6'6". He's now 6'8". And he can play multiple positions. He shoots the three beautifully with unlimited range, handles the ball like a point guard. And I love when we're practicing and we're working on our traps and he gets trapped. He just looks right over our little guards. Nigel 6 foot, Bensley 6 foot. He can throw it right over them to find the open man.
He's got a nice shot. I watched it today. Go right in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to blend, we have three freshmen. Paul Jobet is also from France, an international player. Great kid, working really hard. They have a lot to learn. And then while they're making their adjustments, We also have two very key sophomores, Christian Watson and A.J. Casey, who played sparingly last year as freshmen, but now they need to step into a much larger role. So we'll see. We've got some growing pains that we'll experience early on, but they're a great group, great group of guys to be around.
Coach, who do you lean on leadership-wise? Literally no seniors, right?
I mean, no, two seniors. But two seniors with one more year of eligibility. So Nigel Pack and Norshed Omir actually have one more year of eligibility should they choose to return. Now, they both want to play in the NBA. They both want to be pros. So we don't know if they'll come back. But they provide great leadership because they've been through it now. And then also Bensley Josephs is a terrific leader. And Wuga Poplar is blossoming into a leader. Today he didn't practice. He had a little bit of a issue physically. And so he sat on the sideline with me, and he's yelling, the guys, run, block out. Yeah. So he's really getting into it and learning, and he's one heck of a basketball player.
How much fun is it? I was watching you with Wuga today, and how much fun is it for you to watch a kid like that blossom? His personality is starting to come out now. Much different kid today than he was 2 years ago when he arrived here, and he's sitting right next to you. And I know what you're doing. You're coaching him right there, even though he's not playing. But and he's taking that coaching and listening. And so how much fun is that for you?
So when Wuga was a freshman, before the season ever began, we had a team dinner. And he was sitting right next to me. And we were talking basketball about their high school careers, all the guys, not just him or the freshman, but everybody on the team was describing their high school experience. So I said to him, Wuga, now you're a very good three-point shooter. How many threes did you shoot when you were in high school? Like last season, your senior year, you have a great year. How many threes did you shoot? He said, I think about 30. I said, a game? And he said, yeah. Well, did you make any? He said, oh, I probably made half of them. That means you made 15 out of 30. That's 45 points before you made a two or a free throw. And he goes, oh, yeah. Probably didn't shoot 30, did I? So trying to get someone to understand the mental part of the game and how to be efficient. And he's really learned that. He's become a much more efficient player. He understands the team concept of sharing the ball. Now, he's going to take a lot of shots this year, but he's also got to pass the ball because he's got Nigel Pack, who's a heck of a shooter. He's got Norshed Omir, who's an incredible player. He's got Matthew Cleland. He's got Bensley Joseph. He's got Keyshawn George. He's got a lot of good players to pass the ball to. So you can't be a one-man show, but you got to be efficient with the shots you do take.
Coach, is it tougher to get them elevated physically or mentally? What's the bigger challenge?
Oh, the greatest challenge is always mental. We use the expression mental is to physical as four is to one, meaning, you know, I think Yogi Berra said it best. The game is 95% mental and 50% physical. he was a character from, you know, one of my Yankee favorites back in the day. But we talked to the players that when you're on the court, do you know how many decisions you got to make? So think about it. Should I run? Should I fill the lane on a fast break? Should I block out to get the rebound? Should I go for the rebound? Right? Yeah. Should I dribble? Should I shoot? Should I pass? All those decisions on defense. Should I pressure my man? Or should I give it? He's not that good a three-point shooter. Should I back off? All the decisions you're making. Should I switch on this ball screen? Should I help in the lane on that big guy? All the decisions you're making happen not once in a while. From the opening jump till the final buzzer, you're constantly making multiple decisions which hopefully lead to multiple efforts. Because if you make a single good effort, that's not going to win.
Right.
You've got to make multiple efforts on every possession.
You took your team to France in the summer. How was that trip? And then the second part of it would be, how do you think it helped your team?
Well, the first thing is the NCAA allows you to take a foreign tour once every 4 years. So 8 years ago, we went to Spain. 4 years ago, we went to Italy. And now this summer, we went to France. The guys absolutely loved it. It provided us 10 practice days. The NCAA allows you 10 days to get your team ready for the trip. And then we played 3 games. And we won all 3 games. And the last game was very challenging. But the guys loved it. We didn't practice once we got over there. It was all touring. No, went to the Eiffel Tower, went to Normandy to see where the Battle of Normandy was. We went to Nice, and the guys swam in the Mediterranean. They did this tubing where they got a boat and someone's pulling them and they're hanging on for dear life on an inner tube. They had a blast, and it was all them together. We always, in each new stop, we had beautiful hotels, but they had to change roommates. Wow. So we had the seniors rooming with the freshmen. We had the juniors with the sophomores. Then it switched. Then the freshmen with the sophomores and the juniors with the seniors. So you get to know everybody. And then we had dinners where they had to talk about their families. They had to talk about what they liked about the trip. You know what? Well, the very first thing when we got to Paris, I said, hey, what do you guys want to do? You know what they said? It blew my mind. Don, Joe, they wanted to go shopping. I said, what do you mean? What kind of shopping? I want to go to the Louis Vuitton store and buy a nice gift for my mom.
That's nice.
So I said, wow, that's very thoughtful, very nice. Guys, you know how expensive the Louis Vuitton is? But we went. They had a blast. We did a tour of a perfumery, a factory where they make all the French perfume. They bought stuff for their moms there. I got some nice cologne for me. My wife says as you get older, you need to wear cologne because men tend to have bad body odor.
Coach, how about Normandy? I was there a few years ago. It was one of the most impressive places I've ever been in my life. Did they understand it and impact them?
Don, I'm a great believer in education in every different facet. And I'm also a history buff. So what we did about a week before we left for France, we watched the first 30 minutes of Saving Private Ryan, which starts with the Battle of Normandy.
Yeah.
And those guys watched it, and I kept reminding them, those kids are your age.
That's true.
They're all 18
right.
to 22 years old. They're all in the military. They didn't choose it. They got drafted, and they had I think they got drafted in World War II.
They
drafted.
Because there's a volunteer army now. Yeah. But you get drafted. You're 18 years old. They give you a helmet and a gun and say, shoot this other guy. So these guys watched it in disbelief. And then to walk the Normandy grounds with all the
stones,
the headstones for all these soldiers. And again, you remind them, the guy buried there, all these guys, they were 18, 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
No cell phones then, no computers, nothing. Just volumes of people. It was amazing. So, in the museum, did they go through the museum there as well?
Yeah, we did everything. That was a great trip. And of course, one of the nice things in France, we had two guys who spoke fluent French. Oh. Keyshawn George played in France from Switzerland, and Paul Jobet, who's from just outside of Paris. Mm-hmm. So when they got to a restaurant, what we did, which I've done in the past, we get them a restaurant, and no coaches are there, no adults. You just go and hang out with each other, and we're able to pick up the tab. Right? So they go. And they pick up a menu, and they're like talking to the French guy. What the heck is this? What do I order here? And then, you know what they showed me? There was an app that you take your cell phone, and you put the camera on the menu,
right?
And it converts it to English.
Oh, to English. Oh.
So you learn an awful lot. Yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful experience. The guys loved it. But it's over with now. Summer's over. We got to really get to work. We have an exhibition game 2:00 on Sunday, this coming Sunday. And then we open up the season at home on November 6th. And then the following game, is a team we have struggled with, University of Central Florida. Mm-hmm. Last year, we beat them by a point at the buzzer.
Up there.
And the year before, they beat us at our place.
Yeah.
So it'll be one tough game early in the year to test us.
All right. Well, thank you for coming by here tonight.
Oh, been my great. Pleasure, guys.
And
hey, great win by the football team, huh?
Keyshawn's parents are here, too,
yeah,
right?
Keyshawn's yeah. parents are here. They watch practice like yeah. you did, Joe. But that double overtime win versus Clemson, Whew. A team we've had a hard time beating, that's yeah. a great win. Hopefully it'll catapult us to another win on homecoming weekend over Virginia. But Virginia knocked off Carolina, right?
They sure yes. did, yeah.
Ooh.
Yep.
At Carolina.
You know what I love? Everybody predicts who's going to win. I was like, you know, you don't have a crystal ball, and you don't know about the health of the team. How about Tyler Van Dyke doesn't play? We have a freshman quarterback, and he leads us to victory.
Well, you like to say teams don't shoot the ball the same from game to game or
no,
half
to
half. And probably the same in football. They just mentally don't show up the same.
Yeah. Do you guys, either of you, go on Instagram at all?
I don't have Instagram.
You don't have Instagram?
No.
I have Instagram. You know what I wanted to see?
I do not. What do you want to see?
The celebration after the game in the locker room. It was awesome.
Oh.
I witnessed
our
it.
Football. You did?
Oh, he's
oh were you
room.
In the locker room?
Yes, sir. Yes,
so
sir.
How cool was that?
Oh, a lot of
you
smiles.
Had,
a lot of
hey,
smiles.
I hear
how
it.
Many, like, it's like 100 guys dancing
yeah.
and celebrating. You know, it was beautiful. And Mario leading the charge. And
yeah.
That's really what college athletics is about. You know, really enjoying the competition and then celebrating victories. Because losses are miserable, right?
They last
you
forever.
Know, Joe, I have yeah. I have a theory or a philosophy. I have a camp during the summer. I tell the campers every single day, get season tickets. Come and follow our team. And if you come to the game, after the game we win, come down to the locker room and say hello to the players. And the campers love that. Yeah, go down there, take pictures, sign autographs and all that. But I have one message for you. If we lose, go home. Nobody wants to talk to you after loss.
True.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to talk to anybody. I go home and I'm crying.
And that 24-hour rule is hard to follow.
Yeah.
It's hard to follow.
All right, guys.
All right,
pleasure
Coach.
Talking
Thank you very
with
much.
You. I look
All
forward
right.
to the season, Joe.
2 weeks from tonight, Coach. I'll be yeah. in your office at
All right.
5 o'clock, 5:30.
All right. See you. Right.
That's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. We'll continue from the Ratskeller right after this.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.